complete episodes.
Truth over tribe. This is the Jerry Bader Show.
N06, the memo. Years, decades from now, there will be the memo. There will be the memo 2.0. I can sum it up this way. At the moment, this is a massively annoying political he said, he said. By the way, Trey Gowdy, there is a Russia probe without the dossier. So Trey Gowdy is a tremendous loss. Earl, that's perfect. That is perfect. Sometimes you frustrate me over there with the silly YouTube. Dude, I'm not even going to tell you the bumper that Earl's going to take us out of here at the break. Make sure you find the right one, though. So the memo was released. President Trump says something to the effect, and not something to the effect, that the memo totally vindicates him. Well, interestingly, a Republican on the House Intelligence Committee who voted in favor of releasing a controversial GOP memo alleging abuse of government surveillance powers in the Russia investigation said he doesn't agree with President Donald Trump's claim that the document totally vindicates him. Representative Will Hurd of Texas, who was generally defensive of the memo, when asked by ABC News chief anchor George Stephanopoulos on This Week Sunday if he agrees when Trump says this vindicates him in the entire Russia investigation, as the president tweeted Saturday, Hurd said, "No, I don't." Hurd responded to Stephanopoulos, adding, "I don't agree with some of my colleagues always using the words explosive to describe the document." He said, however, "I'm not shocked that elected officials are using hyperbole and exaggerations, seemingly talking about members of his own party." Again, he is a Republican on the House Intel Committee who voted to release the memo. Hurd told Stephanopoulos the Republican memo should not interfere with the probe by special counsel Robert Mueller of Russia's alleged interference in the 2016 U.S. election and possible collusion by Trump associates. You are seeing a split in the Republican Party on this. President Trump and his defenders clearly are making, within the party, are making the case that this vindicates him and there's no need for an investigation. Paul Ryan finds himself in an incredibly precarious situation as Speaker of the House. He cautioned his members not to do exactly what many of them and Trump are doing, to use this to discredit the Mueller investigation. Also on Sunday, Hurd was asked by Stephanopoulos. Stephanopoulos read a quote, a tweet, or whatever it was, from Arizona Republican Congressman Paul Gosar that said, "The full-throated adoption of this illegal misconduct and abuse of FISA by James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Sally Yates, and Rod Rosenstein is not just criminal, it is treason. I will ready a letter to the Attorney General seeking criminal charges against traitors to our nation." Hurd, the Republican on the House Intel Committee, was then asked by Stephanopoulos, "Are you going to sign on to that letter?" He said, "No, I'm not." This is the divide that you have. Fast forward to this morning. President Trump accused a top Democratic lawmaker on Monday of being one of the biggest liars and leakers in Washington, calling Representative Adam Schiff of California "Little Adam Schiff" and accusing him of illegally leaking confidential information from the House Intelligence Committee. In an early morning tweet, Trump ominously said that Mr. Schiff must be stopped, though he did not elaborate. Nunes is also criticizing Schiff, accusing him of leaking things from the Democratic memo. I believe that has happened. The president's insult came as Mr. Schiff is expected to call for a vote this afternoon for the Intelligence Committee to release a Democratic rebuttal to the classified memo that the panel's Republicans released on Friday, which accuses federal law enforcement officials of abusing their powers to spy on a former Trump campaign official. Friend of mine and friend of the show, Ed Morrissey, wrote a piece at hotair.com, which on Saturday I thought summarizes quite well exactly where we're at. Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Washington Post reporting actually the DOJ did tell the FISA court about Steele's political connections. What they didn't mention was the DNC or Hillary Clinton by name. The one full piece here I do want to read is Ed's, and I think it's very good. First, we had hashtag release the memo. Now sit back and wait for release the leakin'. Actually, we don't have to wait at all. The counter leaks began late yesterday, Friday, designed to poke holes in the Devin Nunes memo, which left lots of room for those holes to exist. The Wall Street Journal got the first significant leak, with an anonymous source telling the paper that the main thrust of Nunes' memo, that the Department of Justice hid Christopher Steele's political connections, was false. This from the Wall Street Journal. The memo contends that by not stating the partisan origin of the research, prosecutors obscured a possible political motive for the surveillance of Mr. Page, making a troubling breakdown of legal processes. But the document's claims are difficult to evaluate without access to the underlying, highly classified law enforcement material that it was based on. It also doesn't address or dispute the research collected by Mr. Steele that was included in the warrant application, and it recommends no changes to U.S. intelligence programs. Let me stop there. Here's what neither side is doing. Neither side is addressing the direct question of whether any of the Steele dossier has been corroborated. Did the FBI verify anything in the Steele dossier? And was corroborated, verified information used? Neither side, Nunes isn't saying that didn't happen. Schiff isn't saying it did. Which will lead me to what I think needs to happen next, but more on that in a moment. The memo is critical of Mr. Steele and notes that prosecutors in their application for the warrant did not explicitly state that he was working for a firm funded by Democrats, but the FISA application did disclose Mr. Steele was being paid by a law firm working for a major political party, according to a person familiar with the matter. Redacting the names of U.S. people or organizations who aren't the subject of an investigation is a common practice in government legal filings designed to protect privacy. In other words, saying, look, he was being paid by political operatives to assemble this, but not naming them would be standard operating procedure. Of course, that's just one source who doesn't go on the record, Ed writes. However, the New York Times followed up with their own sources that told them the same thing. We can not know, however, if they are sources independent of the Wall Street Journal sources. Here's the Times reporting. But a 10-page Democratic memo written to rebut the Republican document says the FBI was more forthcoming with the surveillance court than the Republicans say. The FBI told the court that the information it received from Mr. Steele was politically motivated, though the agency didn't name names. Again, that's the New York Times. The court that approved surveillance of a former campaign advisor to President Trump was aware that some of the information underpinning the warrant request was paid for by a political entity. That wasn't the end of the leaks, writes Ed. The Wall Street Journal found multiple sources to argue that another key Nunes contention in the memo twisted key testimony. Nunes argued that Andrew McCabe had testified that the Steele dossier was the key piece of evidence that allowed the DOJ to get the FISA warrant and three later extensions. That's not true. Sources within the DOJ and Congress told Wall Street Journal's Byron Tao and Rebecca Ballhaus. One new element related to purported testimony of Andrew McCabe, a deputy FBI director who just stepped down this past week, about the importance of the Steele dossier in obtaining surveillance warrants of Mr. Page. The memo alleges that Mr. McCabe testified before the House Intelligence Committee in December that no surveillance warrant would have been sought without the Steele dossier information. Officials in Congress and the Justice Department familiar with Mr. McCabe's testimony said the memo mischaracterized what he told lawmakers. He was asked what percentage of information in the FISA application was provided by Mr. Steele, and he demurred, saying the FBI didn't evaluate such applications in such a way. Mr. McCabe was asked if he might have accounted for half of the warrant application, and he said he didn't know. One person familiar with the matter said. Now back to Ed Morrissey. This looks more like a matter of degree than simple truth falsity. Either way, the FBI and DOJ used a political hit job as at least a significant part of their application to conduct domestic surveillance on someone who was at the time connected to a political campaign. And then there's an update on that. While law enforcement often uses tips from interested or oppositional parties to seek warrants in criminal cases, this is different for a number of reasons. This wasn't just a drug dealer getting ratted out by a rival. This targeted a presidential campaign, which should have raised the bar on such predicates, even if, as the Wall Street Journal source contends, the court was fully apprised of the source's political connections. The risk of getting manipulated into interfering in an election against the governing party's opponent should have set off flashing red lights and screaming sirens. For all the sturm and drang about election interference over the last 15 months, the concern over law enforcement agencies potentially attempting to throw an election seems rather muted. Ed goes on, that's not to say the use of the dossier is entirely illegitimate, though. Law enforcement and counterintelligence agencies get lots of tips, some of them just wrong, others maliciously intended to do damage. It is the FBI's job to independently corroborate such information to be sure it's valid before seeking warrants, especially in seeking FISA court warrants to conduct surveillance on otherwise legitimate political operations. Did they find independent corroboration of some of Steele's claims in the dossier? We don't actually know the answer to that question yet. The Nunes memo doesn't answer that question, and neither do the counter leaks yet. This points up a fundamental problem with the release of the Nunes memo, which Ed points out that he pointed out at length Friday on Twitter. The memo represents an argument from the Republican majority of the House Intelligence Committee, or really just a summary of a partisan argument. This was the point I was trying to make. It makes a number of factual assertions while failing to provide the evidence to support those assertions. They may all be true, they may all be false, or they may have some truth to them without providing the full context. Until we see the FISA warrants themselves and the underlying intel that supported it, we simply can't tell. Not even releasing the minority response will cure the problem, because that will be a partisan argument rather than evidence too. They're essentially leaks themselves, which will beget more and more leaks, all of which will do nothing but muddy the waters even further. Each side will believe their own side's leaks and will argue out of ignorance over what actually happened forever, unless, and here's where Ed makes his point, and I agree. If we want this settled, we need to see the FISA warrants as lightly redacted as possible to see why the DOJ approved the surveillance of at least one person connected to a presidential campaign. The president has the authority to declassify it. In fact, Donald Trump has had the authority since the day he took the oath of office. The fact that it has not yet been declassified should raise some questions about the validity of the assertions in the Nunes memo, or at the very least, remind everyone that we still actually don't know what happened. Other than we've all issued a call to hashtag release the leakin, that is. And then he points out, Gabriel Mailer tweeted, it technically did not target a presidential campaign. Page had left the campaign when the warrant was sought. Ed writes, true, but the probe began while both Carter Page and George Papadopoulos were still on the campaign, and the point of it was to see whether the campaign colluded with the Russian intelligence to hack the DNC. Page didn't have to still be a part of the campaign for the DOJ and FBI to be probing it. DOJ. The scope of the investigation clearly was not limited to Page. Michael Mukasey makes a similar case to Ed, former U.S. Attorney General and U.S. District Judge. We've got to see the source material. or this is all political, he said, he said. More on that in 5 minutes. It's 10:30.
Jerry Bader Show.com.